We have been talking about the work of the church, and Brother Brian actually begun that series for us on last week, and we're going to be continuing some of those thoughts on this morning. And we want to consider one of the works of the church that is called edification. On next week, Brother Leon, who preaches on the third Sunday, is going to be speaking on evangelism, which is a work of the church. And so it's important for us, as we are continuing to grow and thrive here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, the shepherds here are really wanting to go over some of the basics, some of the foundational teachings, some of the fundamentals of the faith, in hopes that we can be reminded of the things that we already know, and perhaps maybe you don't know some of these things, you can be properly educated in them. When I was considering edification, I was thinking about what Jude said in verse 20, where he demonstrates to the beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. And the more that I thought about that, I thought about how Jude, who is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, yet calls himself a servant, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. When we think about this and we consider some of the things that he had to say and how he was warning them to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And he was encouraging the brethren because apparently there had been some individuals, men, who had crept in, as Jude would say, unawares. It seemed like they came in by stealth, if you will. And so he was warning them of those things that was taking place. And some four times in verse number four, he uses the word ungodly, which is pretty interesting because these ungodly men were doing ungodly things and turning the grace of God into that which was ungodly. And so he was warning them. But then he gives illustrations and examples of those in the Old Testament that apostatized, or they went their own way. They went rogue, if you will. And so he brings up Cain and Balaam and so forth and so on to make his point. And he did make his point to those brethren, because those individuals have crept in to the point that Jude would say that even your love feast, well, there's spots in it. They are in your midst, and you need to know who they are. Well, we get to verse number 20, because he is ending on a good note, if you will. He's ending on an encouraging note, where he says, but you, beloved, a term of endearment, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But then he talks about the application of those things, and we'll talk more about this here in a few minutes. As it relates to having compassion on some, but then having another attitude toward those who are really knee-deep in the situation and pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that they are wearing. And so he encourages them to do that as well. The more I was considering edification, I was thinking about that word building up. And the way that my mind works when I study, I'm always asking, where is this word also used? what is the context of this particular word? And then as I was looking at it and studying, I saw in the English you have the word edify, Brother Royce, but then you have edification. But in the Greek, you have a multiplicity of words that gives us this panoramic picture, if you will, of what God is talking about concerning building up, encouraging, which in my studies, I have concluded it is the foundation of the church. And the reason why is because before one can truly go out and evangelize, one has to first be built up in the Word of God. One must know the Word of God. And for this reason, we don't send novices out who don't know the Word of God, because they need to be built up in or on their most holy faith. And so when we think about edification, four definitions I want to consider with you. And they're all from the original. Edification has some great definitions that are worthy of consideration. Number one, it means to build upon or to build up. One of those you find in Acts 20 and verse 32, where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders on the Isle of Miletus, and he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now watch this, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's one way that this word is used. It's also used in Colossians 2 and verse number 7 as it relates to being rooted and built up in him. Now, there's two things that Paul says that by inspiration. Number one, he says rooted, and then he says built up. In order to truly have a good relationship with God the Father through his Son, one must go down into Christ, and then one must go up into Christ. Got to be rooted and built up, which means that I have to be rooted in him, rooted in his word, rooted in his principles, rooted in his mindset, but then I also got to be built up in those same things. A tree is only as good as its root system. And so when we consider this, he uses this word in this way. But another way that this word is used, a definition, to build a house, to construct, to restore by building, as seen in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24, where Jesus said, "A wise man which built his house upon the rock," constructs his house upon a rock, upon the strong foundational teachings. Here, if one is going to be built up, one must construct or restore by building his lifestyle upon the word of God, upon God himself. And Paul would use the same idea that Jesus would use in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 1. But turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, which I thought was pretty interesting. Because Paul would say, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love constructs. Love restores by building. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, "All things are lawful for me, but all things," now watch this, "edify not." Now notice how he says that, because that's important for our study on today. Just because I can and just because I believe it's permissible doesn't mean that I need to do it. It's a great point that Paul makes there. All things are lawful, Brother Royce, but not all things edify. All things don't construct. They don't build. Just because I can do it doesn't mean that it's going to be good for the whole. It's a great point that Paul makes there. Because sometimes, especially in the world that we live in today, with the mindset that some have in the world and perhaps even in the church, well, it's my life. I can do whatever I want to. But if it's affecting someone else, why do it? What we ought to be doing is learning how to build up, which is a work of the church. And so Paul would use this. Number three, we see another way that Paul uses this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12, verse 16, and verse 29. The definition here, which I thought was just so powerful. the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, reverence, happiness, and holiness. Huh. Building up a work of the church? You better believe it is. When one is involved in the promotion of the spiritual growth of another member of the Lord's church in Christian wisdom, uprightness, respect, happiness, and holiness, friends, you can't help but go right with that. And so Paul would use that in Ephesians 4, verse 12, verse 16, and verse 29 in the context of education, spiritual education. Why did Jesus Christ put the leaders in the church, apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers? Why did he put those in the church? To build up the church, to encourage the church, to give the church the necessary things needed in order for them to have Christian wisdom, uprightness, respect, holiness, and happiness. Friends, we can be happy. The people of God, Brother Dietrich, ought to be happy. But we ought to be happy based upon the word and the will of God, not based upon my own understanding and thinking. And so we see that edification, building up, restoring, construction is definitely a work of the church. But Jude, he used this one a little bit different, and it actually gives the complete view of this panoramic spiritual picture that God is painting. Here in Jude, verse 20, he says, build up, or building yourselves up. It literally means to finish the structure of which functions or a foundation has already been laid. Hold on. You already got the foundation laid. Now Jude says, build on top of it. It's the idea of building blocks. And here, you got the foundation that's laid, and Jesus Christ is that foundation. The apostles and prophets laid that foundation and are the foundation of the church. And he tells them, build on top of that. Build on top of that. That goes right in line, friends, with what Jesus taught concerning what are we building on. A wise man builds upon the rock, the spiritual teachings of God. A foolish man builds their house upon the sand, everything else. I believe that's worthy of our consideration. Four things we see, four encouragements. Look at verse 20 and 21 of Jude. We see four encouragements. We just saw four definitions. Now four encouragements in verse 20 and 21. We see the building up on your most holy faith, which goes back to verse 3, that common salvation. We see praying in the Holy Spirit. Literally, praying according to the Holy Spirit's teachings. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 5, turn your Bibles there, verse 13 and 14. It's important for us to make this point because some look at this from the miraculous. But the application for us today cannot be that because we're not in the miraculous age. We're not in that age of the apostles and prophets. We're not in that age where they're performing miracles in order to confirm the word. Mark 16, 20. Hebrews 2, the first three verses. He says, pray in the Holy Spirit. How do I know if I'm praying in the Holy Spirit? In 1 John 5, start at verse number 13. Stay with me. Notice what the Bible here says. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do I know if I'm praying according to the Holy Spirit's teaching? How do I know if I'm praying according to the will of God? I have to know what's in his will. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Which means that I have to be like Jesus as he's in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. Which means that I have to spend time in study and in meditation and in prayer. I don't have time to really deal with that a lot, but I wanted to make that point because I believe it's an important point. Because even good brethren, they get mystical right there when God is teaching us. Go to my word, I'll tell you and teach you what you ought to pray for. But Brother Mike, what about Romans 8? Well, we don't know what we ought to pray for. Well, hold on. We in and of ourselves don't, but we can go to the word of God and it'll teach us what to pray for. I never want to pray for anything outside of God's will. Evelyn Bonner is my wife. There's no need for me praying for another woman. She's all I got. That's God's will. Quick, easy, right? Y'all say amen to that. That's easy. I'm like, you know what? I think the Lord want me to be with so-and-so. Hold on. She still got my ring. And she ain't committed fornication. And if she did, I haven't given her an opportunity to make it right. Oh. Now, y'all do whatever you want to with that, but that's a great illustration. But look at verse 20. Go back to Jude. And notice what he says here. Keeping yourselves, one translation says, keep yourselves in the love of God. What does it mean to keep myself in the love of God? Here we have this building up. Building up is not just me patting you on your back and saying, hey, have a good day. See you next week. No. Building ourselves up, encouraging one another, requires the word of God, requires prayer, requires us being faithful, notice this, in God's love. Notice in 1 John 5, and look at verse 3. Notice what he says here. When Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, which means that I have a responsibility to be inside of a location. But what is the will of God? In 1 John chapter 5, let's start at verse number 1. Let's grab a little bit of the context. Perhaps it will help us. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begots, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know. Now watch this. That we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. How do I know if I'm keeping myself in the love of God? I know that I'm keeping myself in the love of God when I keep the commandments of God. That's how I know I'm in the love of God. Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14 and verse 15. Jesus loved the Father so much that he kept his commandments, John 15, 9 and 10. And so how do I know if I'm keeping the commandments of God? When I do the commandments of God. Go back to Jude. We're almost done. Because when I was thinking about this and really just taking out, what is Jude saying? What is he communicating to us? How can this help us even today? How can this help me today? How can this help my family? How can this help my wife? How can this help my husband? How does this help my fellow man? Look at verse 21, the latter part where he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Turn to Titus 2 and look at verse number 11 through verse 13. In Titus 2, it's amazing how the Bible is its own best commentator. Divine commentating is so powerful because there's one author. He's the Holy Spirit. And he inspired all of these men to write. It's foundational. And these things are designed to build up. They're designed to construct. They're designed to encourage. In Titus 2, starting at verse number 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Watch this. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, God has always given his people hope. The hope that we have is Jesus Christ coming back. Well, that means that it doesn't matter how hard, how tough life gets, Friends, we have something to look forward to. Jesus Christ is going to come back one day, and he's going to make all the wrongs right. He'll make them all right. And so we see four definitions, four encouragements, with five reasons in verse 24 and verse 25. Look at the five reasons that we see that we ought to be edifying one another. He already gave us four things that should encourage us. Now, five things that will help us as we are pulling people out of the fire, having compassion on one another. We know that sin happens. I told the church in New Boston last week, it's interesting when brethren sin, sometimes we're just so shocked and amazed, which we probably shouldn't be, because for all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. Every now and then we're going to find ourselves doing, thinking, and saying things that are not correct, which means that I ought to be able to come to my brother and sister in Christ, my brethren, say, I have sinned, I've repented of those things, I've actually turned away from it. I need y'all to pray for me. But what happens is sometimes we hide in our sin because we don't want nobody to know. But hold on, I thought we all sinned. I'm not talking about living in sin. I'm talking about every now and then we find ourselves sinning. And we need to make it right. And we ought to use the safe place that God has graced us with, called the Church of Christ, in order to make that right with each other. Amen? That's why we have the church. That's why we're the body of Christ. And so, if you look at the confidence that we see in verse number 24 through verse number 25, notice what he says, that God is able to keep us from stumbling. That's the confidence that we have. That we're able to stand before God on that day. That's the security that we have. We see that we have salvation. Why? Because the Father is the Savior. We also see that there's great wisdom with our Father because he alone is wise. But we know there's power behind him because he's great beyond compare. And he gives all those things that outline who our Father is. Question. Do we need more reasons to edify, to build up, to encourage, to construct? Friends, we should always be in a position of constructing and helping one another. So I leave you with three points. I wish Ryan was here. He'd be giggling right now because when I say that, he's like, yeah, right. He'll look at his watch. Yeah, right. Whatever. I got three quick points. Because the more I was thinking about edification, I was thinking about it traditionally, of course. But I was looking at what Jude was saying and correlating that with what the Holy Spirit was writing through Paul and through Jesus. I'm like, hold on. There's more to it. We can add to this. Let us edify one another, friends. Today. Go to Hebrews 3. Three requests. Today. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's not cry over spilt milk. You know, I should have said something to my good brother, good sister yesterday. That day is gone. Today. In Hebrews 3, starting at verse number 12, all the way to verse number 15, notice what the Hebrews writer here says. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Watch this. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. God has always wanted us to do things today. I'm reminded of when Pharaoh was talking to Moses about the frogs. And Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to entreat the Lord about these frogs? And Pharaoh had the nerve to say, Brother Royce, tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. They're everywhere. They're in the hearth. They're in the bed. They're ribbiting everywhere. I can do something about this today, Pharaoh. I can handle it tomorrow. Who thinks like that? Pharaoh did. Guess what? Sometimes we do. I do. I'll deal with that tomorrow. So it made me think, why put off tomorrow what I can do what? Today. Look for someone to encourage today. Help someone build up their faith today. Do not have the heart of an unbeliever. However, have the heart of belief. Don't harden your heart against sin. If you know your brother or your sister needs edification, building up, because they're hardening their heart. Matthew 24 and verse number 12. The tribulations of this world, the trials of this world is causing their hearts to grow cold. Do something to warm them up. So, I'll let you in on a little secret. Sometimes, I wear one of those little belts that kind of heat up your fat next session, because this is the hardest part to go off. Y'all know that. You get a little older, it's hard. It's hard for this stuff to come off. It's just hard. So I wear one of those belts to kind of heat it up. But you know what it made me think about? That same sun that melts the butter is the same sun that hardens the clay. Huh. You know, if we are building up one another, perhaps the warmth of the Word of God can cause someone's heart to be molded and softened. But if we don't, or if you don't put yourself in a position to be encouraged, you can grow harder and harder and harder against God. You don't want that. So let's do that today. Let's surrender to sin. Surrender to Jesus today. Let's not surrender to sin. Let's surrender to Jesus today. Let's be people who don't retreat from God. Let's be people who retreat toward the church. Number two, I told you they were quick. Look at Galatians 5, 6. Let's edify one another, not just today, but let's be truthful in our edification. In Galatians chapter 6, I just did a study with the brethren in New Boston on the book of Galatians. We looked at almost every single passage in Galatians from chapter 1 to chapter 6. And I was so encouraged by it. It was so mind-changing. I've looked at it before. The older you get, the more you study, the more you realize you don't know much. You don't know much. Seems like the more I study, the dumber I am. Yet the God of heaven, I know for a fact, wants me to learn even more about him. In Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5, friends, we need to be truthful when we're edifying one another, when we're building up one another. It requires us being helpful and being helped out of real problems and concerns in life. Brethren, verse number 1. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one, now watch this, examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden. Let me show you something here. If you notice, you'll see one that's overtaken in a fault or trespass. Paul, by inspiration, says, you who are spiritual, who are those? Well, you go back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you see the fruit of the Spirit. You go back even further to Galatians 5 and verse number 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk according to the Word of God. And so when I'm walking according to the Word of God, I got to be walking truthfully. But why? Because if my brother is overtaken in a fault, I have truthfully been walking with God. Now I can go to him or her and I can actually help them, restore them, the idea of mending a broken bone. And I told the church last week, I said, you know, I work on cars and I got tools to work on cars, but you don't want me working on your kneecaps. No, you'll get an infection so fast you'll die. Because most of my tools, they ain't all that clean sometimes when I get through working. Here's my point. Spiritual people ought to be doing the restoring, not spiritual quacks. which means that I need to put myself in a position where I'm walking truthfully with God. So when I see my brother or sister in a trespass, then I can actually help them with the right mindset and don't find myself in the same situation, because Paul says, lest you also be tempted. That's a great point that Paul makes there. Friends, we're not making the point. Paul is making the point there. And so it's important for us to be truthful. We need to edify ourselves in the word of God, be truthful with it. We need to edify one another. If our brother or sister is in any trespass, we need to help them. And let's be truthful about it. Let's not sidestep it. Let's not skirt the issue. Let's go ahead and deal with it truthfully so we can hurry up through self-examination, get out of the situation so we can be walking with God again. That's the key. Finally, look at Romans 15. This is my favorite point. I left it for last. Edification should be done today. Edification should be done truthfully. We have to position ourselves so we can bear one another's burdens. You have some that every time you talk about correction, they're the ones doing the correcting. No, every now and then, we all need a little correction. There's only one that is never corrected. That's the God of heaven. Every last one of us, every now and then, are going to find ourselves being corrected. But now I want us to talk about, let us edify each other tenderly. Tenderly. Look at Romans 15. Look at verses 1 through 4. And notice Jesus. Notice Jesus. This is an amazing text right here. We then, after he's talking about those things that are a matter of opinion in chapter 14, goes right into chapter 15 saying, we then who are strong are to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to what? Edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We always go to Romans 15, 4. Yeah, I'm about to go to the Old Testament to make a point. Paul's point right here, don't please yourself. Don't please yourself. And when you do that, in matters of opinion, you actually build up the other. And it's like in anything, it's like a bartering system. Here, you give me this, I give you that. In matters of opinion, you give me this, I give you that. In marriage, you give me this, I'll give you that. Raising children, you give me this, I'll give you that. When dealing with people in the world, you give me this, I'll give you that. And you can do that and not even violate the will of God. Hold on. Tenderly? What do we mean by that? Jesus himself did not seek to please himself. When Paul was talking about edification, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you these quick points. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I found it very powerful that God gave us the apostleship. He gave us the apostleship for our building up, our edification. Christ did not seek to please himself. Paul told the Corinthians that our position as apostles was not for your destruction in verse number 8, but rather it was for your edification. Which means that as a preacher, as an elder, as a teacher in the Lord's church, I'm not trying to hurt you. I ought to be trying to help you. Amen. I'm not beating up the people of God. But rather, we're speaking the words of God and allow God to be true and let every man be a liar. And we're just saying what God's word says. And this is why it's so good to just preach the word. Because if I'm just preaching the word, God is doing the talking. And so Paul says it's not for your destruction, but rather it's for your edification. It's for your building up. It's for your encouragement. Look at chapter 12. Look at verses 14 through verse number 21. Paul would say this in verses 14 through 21, chapter 12. Now, for the third time, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. He wanted a relationship with these good brethren, but they had a problem with him, and he had one with them because of it. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, and less the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Look at verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whisperings, conceit, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me again, or humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. I'm not trying to hurt you. I love you. Edification loves. I'm not trying to hurt. Look at chapter 13 and look at verse 10. This is the last passage. But it's interesting that Paul would say these things. Look at verse number 7. Drop down to verse 10. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. We can do nothing against the truth. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. He's talking about the apostleship, brethren. And this we also pray, that you may be complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. The more that I was considering this and thinking about God loves us so much, he's not trying to destroy us. But we should not be seeking to destroy one another. And so when we're trying to help one another, well, be like what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. Have the right attitude when you're talking to one another. When we're talking to each other at home, let's have the right attitude. Let's build up one another. Let's encourage one another. Not trying to destroy each other. We're actually trying to help one another. Why? Because we want to hear, well done. Edification, it is a work of the church. And it involves the word of God being preached, lived out. It involves all of us doing our part. So maybe you have been very encouraging to others. We want to encourage you to keep that up. Maybe you haven't allowed people to encourage you. We want to encourage you to consider. Maybe you have been a discouragement. We want to tell you stop. Don't do that. Because it's still true what Jesus said. The world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. And what's part of that? How we build up each other. How we construct one another. How we position each other in order to have Christian wisdom and piety and reverence and happiness and holiness. And when I live that out, it can't help but to come out. It comes out in my conflict resolution. It comes out in my thinking. It comes out when I love people. And loving people, again, doesn't mean that it's all honky-dory. But I'm saying things that I need to say, or things are being said to me that needs to be said, but it's said to build up, to edify, in order for me to get better, not to become worse. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, we are eternally grateful for your word. We're thankful that Jude, Jesus' half-brother, said the things that he said by inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we are to be building up one another on our most holy faith, that we ought to be adding to the foundation that has already been laid, and that foundation is Christ Jesus. Pray to the Father that we'll strive to do the best that we can to actually think about these type of lessons and actually put them into practice, and not to just hear them say that was good, but to go home and actually apply them in our marriages, in our parenting, to actually apply them as children as we're listening to our parents, as we're going through disagreements and struggles in life. Help us to build up. Help us to edify. Help us to encourage. We know, Father, that you desire us to be a people who love one another, take care of one another, to build up one another, not to destroy each other. Father, we ask that we never be a people who are biting and devouring, but really striving to be a people who are seeking what is best. We're thankful that it is one of the works of the church. So help us always keep your word in front of us. And we know that it will be that word that will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider. Consider that Jesus came to this world, suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. And he just didn't die, friends. He was beaten. He was bludgeoned. He was bruised. He was battered. He was unrecognizable. The way that they did Jesus was incomprehensible. It should have never happened because of his holiness, but because of the evilness of men. They beat him. They battered him. Caused him to look the way that he looked, but he did that according to the will of his Father. So he just didn't die one day. And even though he gave his life, the way that they treated him was not right, but he did that to save man from their sins. Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord? Will you be willing to just turn away from sin and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing? He will cleanse your conscience from dead works. You can serve the living God, and you can live faithful, and you'll hear those words, well done. Maybe a child of God, and well, you haven't been edifying because you haven't been in the Word, because you haven't been applying the Word, or perhaps you've been self-centered. That happens. Happens to all of us. Let's just get that right. Because the bottom line, when Jesus Christ is sent back, we want to go back and be with him. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.